Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We've got a lot of news to talk about today, including an apparent hack of the NSA, the National Security Agency. And if so, of course, that is stunning almost beyond measure. But there is a bright side to the hacks that have been going on against the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi, the DNC, with a couple hundred Democratic representatives in Washington, D.C., their private cell phone numbers and personal email accounts being put online. Well, let's get to that in a moment, but what we called for here on Bob and Yart Live, literally decades ago, 20 years ago, what should the government and the criminal justice response be to hacking and to spam and to viruses and all that? So we'll get to that. And then also we have now Iran teaming up with Russia to bomb ISIS in Syria. I mean, astounding things are happening in the world around us. And the world is all on fire, in part thanks to the Republicans and the Democrats, and of course Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And we have Donald Trump, who doesn't have a clue as to how to stop all the bloodshed, because in fact he supports the dismembering of innocent children. So then we also have convenience stores begging the federal government, don't order us to sell kale. Kale, when's the last time you had kale? I'm asking anybody in the studio audience. That's the cabbage with some hardcore roughage in it. And then also the communist group that has said they're headed to Milwaukee to help the revolution there. And the revolution, that's the Black Lives Matter revolution, basically, where a black officer shoots an armed black man. And then the sister of the guy who was killed was reported by CNN to be calling for peace, and they didn't want violence there in the city, and they misrepresented what she was saying. She was saying, take the violence, and I'll eliminate the cuss words, as we do, for example, on our YouTube channel with all the comments that liberals want to leave, and they don't seem, especially atheist and evolutionist, they don't seem to be able to communicate without being filthy, without reference to human waste and reproduction. They just can't seem to be able to do it. And that's partly because they reject that God made us in his image, and they think that we're animals. And so they really don't have a noble perspective, a heavenly perspective from which to think. So it's all very base. So they communicate based on defecation and reproductive organs, and that's the sort of the sum total of their worldview, right? Mother Nature, which is these cycles. Well, let's not get into it too much. But so ignoring, in fact, censoring out the cussing of the sister whose brother was shot to death in a legal homicide where a law enforcement officer used his weapon and killed someone who was a threat, an immediate threat to life and limb. That, of course, was legal. And his sister was not, as CNN falsely reported, and they knew they were falsely reporting, and they edited it to be a false report, that she was saying, we don't want violence, we're rejecting violence. She was saying, take it to the suburbs, burn down their neighborhoods. That's what she was saying. We don't want the violence here in our neighborhood. Take it to the white neighborhoods and burn down the white neighborhoods. So the racism of the left and the media and our universities, liberals, for decades, in the very condescending claim that blacks could not be racist, has, as obvious it's become exposed, the seething racism that is in city after city after city in the black community. Seething racism, which is actually a boiling over of the self-hatred that is part and parcel of the democratic socialist government that the Republicans have been just as big a part of as the Democrats. Okay, so at any rate, now we have the Revolutionary Communist Party chapter in Chicago has said that their group is headed to Milwaukee to help the revolution. This is to help the Black Lives Matter revolution. You know, when communism fell out of vogue, then the communist movement, they moved into the radical environmental movement and radical racial movements. So they're very comfortable because ultimately communism, worshiping Mother Earth, right? My Father God can whoop your Mother Earth. Worshiping Mother Earth, wherever you find the expression of rebellion against God, that's some place that a communist group might fit in well to express their hatred of God. And communism is an expression of rebellion against God because it violates God's enduring command, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder. And when a criminal, a suspect, is fleeing from the police and he's armed and the police shoot him, that's not murder. That's a good shooting. All right. And in a way, it's application of the death penalty, because when you don't have the swift death penalty, you often end up with a crime epidemic, and then innocent people get killed, and guilty people get killed, and far more people get killed than if you obeyed God, humbled yourself, and had a swift death penalty. On our website, kgov.com/death penalty, you can see our article about God and the death penalty. For decades, it's been very highly ranked by Google. When people search for information about God and the death penalty, does God support the death penalty? And you find out that the New Testament supports the death penalty, the use of capital punishment. And this is all so vital because the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was crucified to meet the requirements that were necessary for the Father, God the Father, to be able to forgive those who would trust in God the Son, Jesus Christ. So the death penalty, it's not barbaric. It's not against justice. It is an application of justice. But many Christians have been seduced by the cliches and the lies, the misinformation of the left. And so they want the world to accept them. And so they will promote homosexuality and they'll try to come across as reasonable regarding child killing, that is abortion. How do you attempt to come across as reasonable regarding child killing? Isn't that absurd? And so they'll want to be reasonable regarding socialism and communism and talk about the government's responsibility to help the needy, which itself, that very concept, is an expression of rebellion against God. Because God gave government very specific authority, and part of that authority was not to take care of people who don't have a good standard of living. That's not part of the government's role. If we have family members, neighbors, friends, church members who are struggling, it's our responsibility to see if there's a way that we can help. And you know what? For a lot of people, you can't help them because they want to destroy themselves. And the more you try to help some people, the quicker you destroy them. And there are some people who simply cannot be helped with money. The more money you give to them, the more they destroy themselves. And so our government, which is effectively managing a socialist economy, our government has destroyed families by the millions. And when the government gives money to people who they think they're helping, the government and that bureaucracy, where they're helping people by the millions, they don't have the ability to use wisdom on a case-by-case basis. You have somebody in your family member and they're in trouble for some reason, and you help them out financially. Maybe they got in a car accident and they lost their job, whatever the situation is. And you help them out financially and you are a witness to their life. And over the coming days and weeks, you see that you're not helping them, you're hurting them. So you stop helping them financially because you're actually hurting them. It might make you feel good to give them $300 or to start, you know, whatever, supporting them. But you realize you're hurting them. So because you're not selfish, you stop giving them money. Well, the government doesn't have that kind of wisdom. It doesn't have the ability to evaluate on a case-by-case basis whether the money is destroying someone you're trying to help or if it's actually helping. And so very often, I don't know what the percentage is. Maybe you do, listening right now on the radio or to our podcast on kgov.com or in our archives. Perhaps you know what percentage of people in trouble are able to be helped by money. It might be as high as 90% of the people in need cannot be helped by money, because the more money you give them, the more you hurt them. It very well may be 90%. And so the government, of course, it simply cannot operate with the kind of wisdom that God is willing to give to individuals, to families, to churches, to pastors, as they're interacting in people's lives on a one-on-one basis to figure out, how can I help this person and how do I avoid destroying them by giving them money, which I then become the enabler. I then become the problem. I am the problem. And so the government is the problem. So we have convenience stores that are freaking out because they think that the federal government is about to order them to sell healthy products to all the people who buy from them. Like, you go to your neighborhood 7-Eleven store, Southland Corporation. You go to your neighborhood gas station that's also a neighborhood food mart. And you buy what? Mostly things we would consider to be junk food. And food stamps are really good for buying junk food, you know. And when Obama took office, there were fewer than 30 million Americans on food stamps. Today, it's over 46 million on food stamps, a jump of about 60%. And a way out of proportion percentage of those people are minorities. So that Barack Obama has helped to destroy millions more individuals in the inner city. Millions more. He's hurt millions more. But don't worry, the Republicans are just as bad at hurting those people. Or should I say, just as good at hurting those same people. Because when Republicans are in the White House, social spending increases faster under Republican administrations than it ever had under previous Democratic administrations. And that was true since World War II. And that was a long time ago. So now, I don't know, Barack Obama, he's a hard act to follow. If a Republican administration ever gets the White House back, will they be able to outspend Barack Obama on domestic spending? Because in making this point, we always isolate domestic spending. Because if someone who is more hawkish increases military spending, well, that we're not including that, because generally it has been a good thing to increase military spending, generally speaking, because of how dangerous the world is. In the naivete of people like Barack Obama to think, well, if you're respectful to terrorist regimes, then they'll start to behave politely on the world scene. And the naivete is so manifest today. But at any rate, you got 46.5 million Americans on food stamps today in 2016. And the convenience store chains are begging the Obama administration, don't order us to sell kale. People don't want to come to a 7-Eleven for their roughage. They don't want to get cabbage at a 7-Eleven. Please. And so the solution is not to use the federal government for a social experiment to figure out how to get people to have healthier free food. That's not the solution. The definition of a conservative today is a Republican trying to save a social program started by a liberal. So all the liberal social programs from Social Security on, whatever it is, the Republicans will try to save those social programs. Obamacare is falling apart. If Donald Trump were to win the election, you think he would end Obamacare because he and every other Republican campaign saying they would end Obamacare? You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Okay, let me give you a programming note for Real Science Radio coming up this Friday and then next Friday. This Friday, a professor from Patrick Henry College, that's about an hour from Washington, D.C., and the professor, David Lee, what a good time we're going to have talking with him. And we'll talk about the founder of geology, who was a creationist. And we'll talk about the order of the fossils in deposited in the strata layers around the world. It'll be a great Real Science Radio show. This week, Fred Williams and I interviewing Professor David Lee. And then next Friday, what an important show. One of the molecular biologists who has a place in history, because at Cambridge University, from where he eventually was run out on a rail, Dr. Douglas Axe earned a place in history when the world-renowned Darwinist, evolutionist, they were trying to figure out, this is after DNA had been decoded at some length, and they realized that the genetic information in our cells was a double helix, like a spiral stairway, where every step is a different base pair of amino acids. And at the same time, in the years after that, they're looking at proteins, and they're seeing that proteins are a polymer. They're a chain of amino acids that are folded up in a special way. And the evolutionist, famous scientist at Cambridge, they were thinking, well, you know, they're just folded with very simple rules. It's just whether the amino acids, whether they like water or they don't like water. That's it. Whether they're hydrophilic or hydrophobic. And it sort of doesn't matter the order of the amino acids. That just the protein will fold in on itself based on the arrangement of the amino acids, based on whether they are attracted to water or not, and that's about it. And that's what makes a protein. They want to think of it as very simple, right? Because Darwinism can't really do complex things. And Dr. Doug Axe figures out through laboratory experimentation at Cambridge that, in fact, the order of the amino acids is very important in the functioning of a protein, the order. So that if you have 200 amino acids lined up, 16 different kind, the order that they appear is very important to their folding and their functioning. And that was not appreciated by his mentor, a world-renowned scientist, evolutionist. It was not appreciated generally, and he had to leave Cambridge. But he eventually was published on that very discovery, and in so doing, he earned a place in the history of science. And so Doug Axe is now one of the intelligent design scientists that have accomplished so much. And so we'll have him on Real Science Radio. Now, buyer beware, the intelligent design movement is mostly old earth. The Discovery Institute in Seattle is old earth. So we have to recognize that. You know, there are scientists who are atheists who make discoveries against Darwinism. And we appreciate when people help others see the truth. So while we disagree strongly with the Discovery Institute and their misinformation on the Big Bang and on the old Earth, at the same time, we're thankful that they have helped tens of thousands of people, if not more, see that Darwinism has been falsified, that evolution cannot explain the origin of a million species, kinds of creatures on Earth. So now to the NSA and all the hacking going on to the federal government and especially the Democrats. For years, when this became an issue, 20 years ago, I used to write before that for PC Week. And that's where a guy that, well, people know Norton Software Services, virus checking, internet filtering, the Norton utilities. Well, Peter Norton was a columnist at PC Week back when I was writing for PC Week. I was a senior technical analyst with him. I eventually went to Microsoft and had a computer science career, worked for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company on the software simulator for the Apache attack helicopter. And when I started on the air with Bob Inert Live and viruses became an issue and hacking became an issue, we would talk about the ferocity with which the government should punish hackers and people writing viruses and spreading viruses and how severe the punishment should be. But our government simply doesn't know right from wrong. If someone lets loose a virus, whatever harm that virus causes, economic, bodily harm, I mean, someone's business could get a virus and their business is destroyed. And you might have a 68-year-old guy who's doing everything he can to hold together his family, his home, and his business, and a virus takes down his business, and he ends up having a heart attack and dying a week later. I mean, to our government, that would be irrelevant. That's not even a factor. So hackers, those who spread viruses, they should be held accountable to the fullest extent for all the harm that they create. And that would involve restitution, corporal punishment, and capital punishment. Only those three forms of punishment. So the fact that the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, the DNC, Hillary undoubtedly, that they've been hacked, the bright side of that, aside from the comedic value of all the hypocrisy and what we find out, right, with the DNC taking Hillary's side, and opposing Bernie Sanders. That's like the whole Inflategate with the NFL, and Tom Brady and the Patriots, right? Brady is not able to play in the first four games of this NFL season, Tom Brady, the quarterback for the Patriots, because he had the equipment guy deflate the footballs because they're easier to throw and catch. Well, just imagine if it wasn't Tom Brady deflating the footballs for the Patriots, just imagine if it was the referees. Imagine if you found out the referees were deflating the footballs to help the Patriots win games. Imagine that. Wouldn't that be stunning? And that's what the hack of the DNC showed the world, that the DNC, they're supposed to be the referee, and they're helping Hillary win and Bernie Sanders lose. That's how bad it was. But only this is not for a Super Bowl. This is for the future of a nation. So there's the comedic value of the hacks of the Democrats. But also now the government is probably going to take these kinds of crimes more seriously and increase the penalties. Although it's like Pandora's box, right? It's like locking the barn door after the horse is gone. So, hey, we are out of time, but I want to thank you for tuning in to Bob Inert Live. Hey, our audience has been helping out with my very important, though it's a secret expedition, and I'll be able to tell you about it when I get back, but hey, God bless you guys.